With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Hallelujah. Does anybody know what we're studying? Seven steps of how to receive anything from God. Do you know what step number one was? Somebody, please. Know the will of God. Number two was fill your heart with His Word. Number three is renew your mind with His will. Number four, tonight we're going to talk about preparing. Number five, plant a seed. And just don't think financial seed. The Word of God is the seed that we plant. Number six, it seems ridiculous, but we have to tell people to receive. A lot of times we're walking right past our harvest. Number seven is express thankfulness. And that is complete when we bring somebody else into praise and worship to our Father in result of our receiving. So, if you would, open up your Bibles, and we are going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, speaking of God's Word. We'll begin in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and what you've become convinced of, because you know that those whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're going to dig into the Word of God tonight and learn how we can prepare ourselves to receive what we're believing for. And let's begin in prayer. We can gather everybody together in the Spirit that way. Father, we thank You for this message tonight. We thank You for those that are here tonight. We thank You, Lord, that You'll breathe a breath of the Spirit that'll cause the eyes of our heart to be enlightened so that we would see You, know You, understand You, understand the things that You prepared for us. Father, we provoke the mind of Christ within us tonight to teach us through revelation knowledge as the anointed Word goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith begins where the will of God is known. We need to say that until Jesus comes back. God is not obligated to honor your faith if it wasn't His intent. God's not obligated to honor your prayers if you're praying against His will. Now, God will do business with you. God will listen to persistence. But if you want to walk in the best of God's will, if you want to walk in the best of His will, you need to know what His will is. I know that, as it says in Matthew chapter 6, that God knows what I have need of even before I pray. Amen. And the Word of God also says that my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Am I right? And if I seek first the kingdom of God, then He's going to give me the desires of my heart. Is that what the Word of God says? So see, I'm going to slip something in on you here. If you're using your faith for your needs or your desires, you're missing God. Your faith is a commodity. You've only got so much of it. And you need to use that in exchange with God for the needs of other people. Come on. The needs of the ministry. The needs of the poor. If we just use our faith to meet our needs, then we have missed the whole thing already. Praise the Lord. Now, faith begins where the will of God is known. And here's why I really want to just kind of focus in on this for a second or two. I mentioned it Sunday. I may have hamburger faith. I may think that all I deserve is hamburger, but God wants to get me a steak. Come on. I may think that all I would dare to spend on myself would be like the money for a Schwinn bike, but maybe He wants me to have an Electra, which my brother says is the bike to have. Maybe I have Yugo or Honda faith, but God wants me to drive a Lexus or a Cadillac. Now, do you see what I'm saying? This just happened to Pastor Nijia and I. We just got, praise the Lord, you know, we live by faith. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we live well. Now, we just got an entire, we're all of us are getting on a plane. Yeah, this Monday coming up. And we're going to Florida. We don't have any layovers. We're going right to Orlando. We're getting on a Suburban that's rented. And we're going to Disney World. And Vinny's going with us. There's eight of us. It's nine of us. How many is it? It's a bunch of us. Nine of us. And all the meals are paid for. And when we're staying right in Disney World, all the meals are planned out. We even got those little bands that you get to go to the front of the line. Come on. I'm trying to teach you something. And those bands, they're pretty nice, but I guess they're kind of expensive. So then we, everything's paid for in a hotel back in Daytona Beach, too. So we really don't have to take anything with us. Now, when I found out how much this was, I said, we could have gone one day, or we could have gone to Adventureland, and we could have put that money into the church building. Seems to me the disciples said that when the woman broke the vessel over Jesus' feet, and the disciples says, oh, couldn't we have sold that and then given the money to the poor? Now see, if I had anything to do with it, we would probably be in Adventureland. Or Clear Lake, or, you know, somewhere close, somewhere cheap, somewhere. Praise the Lord, but God wants us to have good things. Now, did I tell you that we didn't pay for any of it? It's all paid for? We didn't ask anybody for it? Praise the Lord. God knows what you have need of even before you pray. He usually knows what your desires are better than what you do. And He would love to get you more than just what you think is enough. I mean, if somebody would have just said, we'll pay your bus fare down there and you know, we'll get you into one day at and that happened to us one time. We were down in Florida and somebody said, hey, I've got five tickets to Disney World. And they said, come get my car. And it was a convertible, I don't know, it was nice. And paid for dinner and everything that day. Well, praise the Lord. That would have been great. Listen, a whole week. Praise the Lord. Now see, I may think that God doesn't want me to have anything. Like my suffering is going to please God. Come on. But the truth is, the more that you'll get through you, the more God will get to you. If it doesn't stick to you like glue, but it's always subject to His command and His call, then He will make sure that you have plenty. Amen? Praise the Lord. God's good. And He is faithful. And so faith begins where the will of God is known. And if you don't know that God wants you to have more than... Because you know God wants you to be generous, right? He wants you to give. But you can't give what you don't have. Right? How can I be generous if I don't have enough to take care of my own family? How can I be generous? Come on. I've got to have an overflow. I could be sacrificial in my giving. That'd be okay. But that's not God's best. It's good, but it's not God's best. And if I ever have to look at the tithe like, ooh, I wish I didn't have to let this go, then I'm not being generous. Praise the Lord. Okay, faith begins where the will of God is known. And once we know what the will of God is, and I'm going to use that word will instead of word, because God's word won't tell you where you're supposed to go to church. God's word won't tell you who you're supposed to marry. God's word won't tell you how long you're supposed to stay at the job you're in. You won't find that in the word of God unless maybe you're going to find a virgin named Mary and God takes you to the scripture. And you see what I'm saying? But it's not in the word of God. So you've got to know His will. In your spirit. You've got to spend intimate time with Him. In your spirit, God is going to speak to you. He's going to give you revelation. He's going to give you images, pictures. He's going to give you a snapshot of what He wants for your life. And once you bring it up, I spent a lot of time teaching this weekend. Once you bring it up into your heart, now it's your job to cultivate out that the revelation so you can bring it into words. Because God, He's not limited to English. He's not limited to English. And He very seldomly speaks to you in English. Now, your spirit is always speaking to you, and that's why it sounds a lot like you. But remember, God is not speaking to your mind, He's speaking to your spirit. And so there's some form of communication or translation that has to take place from His spirit to your spirit, from the mind of Christ into your spirit. Remember that your spirit is connected to your heart is connected to God's spirit, is connected to your spirit. And your spirit is connected to your heart. Your heart is connected to your mind. Your mind is connected to your brain. Your brain is connected to your body. And your body connects to creation. That's why God called for prophets. Somebody in creation had to speak to creation. For those of us who've been taught wrongly that your flesh is bad, hey, listen, if that were true, then Jesus would not live in it. Come on, it's been crucified with Christ. And there is a curse on this earth that is constantly pressing in on your flesh. But your flesh does not have an attitude anymore. It just has one. It doesn't have an intellect. Come on. Jesus came in the flesh. And if you don't have flesh, then guess what? Your prayers to affect earth no longer are effective because you don't have any authority. That's why Jesus still has flesh. He said to his disciples, touch me, feel me, flesh and bone have I. Come on. There's two other guys in heaven who have that kind of authority. Do you know what their names are? Come on, somebody. Enoch and Elijah. And they're coming back because it's appointed for all men to die once. They'll come back, they'll face death, and then they'll rise again in 3 days as a sign to the world. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's a little heavy, but you've got to understand that if the Spirit lives in you, He will quicken even your flesh. He'll make alive your flesh because it's from this point, this place in creation that I can affect the world around me with my faith. And my faith is of no effect if I don't know the will of God. And my faith is of no effect if I just profess what I see. I have to have my heart full. Confession without faith is dead. It still is in existence, but so is faith without confession. And so we find in the Word of God that we believe with our heart, right? And if we don't doubt in our heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can speak out of discipline, and that's good because it bridges a gap between where God wants you to be and where you are. And it also helps renew your mind. It also helps deposit down into your heart the Scripture, the Word of God. It transforms your mind with Christ. It morphs it. It changes it. So confession is not a bad thing. Confession is a good thing. But understand, confession alone won't bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That takes faith. Praise the Lord. So once you know the will of God, you fill your heart with God's Word and His will. Come on. You're going to draw. Remember, revelation rises and thoughts descend. And so you're going to draw on the mind of Christ. You're going to draw on the Spirit of God within you. You're going to draw on the wisdom of God, the love of God, the strength of God within you through intimate times, praise, worship, study of the Word, meditating upon the Word. You're going to draw up out of the well of salvation. You're going to draw it out with joy, and you're going to fill your heart with the spiritual substance of the mind of Christ, God's will. Come on. And then you're going to allow the renewed parts of your mind to be deposited into your heart. That's why sometimes you can speak a blessing over somebody and the next minute you're cursing them. The book of James chapter 3 says, my brothers, this should not be. Well, now if you see it in your spirit and your mind will agree with it, see, that's what will fill your heart. Then when it comes out of your mouth, creative miracles will manifest. I'll say it again. If you see it in your spirit and your mind will agree with it, when it comes out of your mouth, creative miracles will manifest. That's how God made Adam, to be a speaking spirit, to transform this world. And if you don't believe that, then you shouldn't pray. Because that's what prayer is. We're praying God's will that's in heaven to come down here on earth. We're praying for God's will of no sickness and disease in our life and in our family's life and protection. That's the way it is in heaven. That's the way we command it to be down here. And God's Word doesn't return void, but it accomplishes the thing that He sent it forth to do. So don't tell me you don't believe this because you all pray. Now if you want to pray effectively, have your heart full of God's Word and God's will. Drawing on your spirit, depositing renewed thoughts. Then you don't have to go around and say, oops, I shouldn't have said that. Oops, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Now I know that wasn't the right confession. Come on. If you change your heart, you don't have to change your words. If you allow God to change your heart and you fill your heart, because the Bible tells us to guard our heart, to keep our heart. That's our job. If we do that, we don't have to worry about what we're doing and what we're saying because it's going to come out of that abundant place in our heart. Now someone might say, I know I'm seem like I'm transgressing, but someone might say, well, brother, you know God judges me by my heart. No, He doesn't. That's not scriptural. He's going to judge every idle word, and He's going to judge every action. And those things come from the attitude of your heart. You can't tell me your heart's good, but you're saying something different. Oh, but I really do love them, but they're a... You know what I'm saying? And you ought to know what they did. And they did this, and then their mother said they did that, and they did this before, and they did it again. And you don't really love them. You just have a sliced tongue.
Come on.
A forked tongue. Because what's in your heart is going to be what comes out of your mouth. And what's in your heart is going to be what you do. Now, the Word of God says that we're to judge a tree by the fruit, right? And when you're looking at that scripture, you look carefully, because he's not talking about judging the tree as if it produces a small apple, a rotten apple, a worm-filled apple, because everybody, if you're still this side of heaven, you're going to cast a bad fruit off every now and then. You know, I just imagine myself not being awake, having a rough night sleeping, going out to the car, trying to get something out of the car. Maybe I left my Bible in there and I'm going to get it for devotions. Haven't had coffee yet. And I smashed my finger in the door. Now, hold on, I haven't had anything to eat. I haven't had any coffee yet. I'm kind of grumpy because I didn't, you know, I might have something slip out of my mouth. But don't judge me by that. I'm accountable to God for that, right? Now, maybe that never, ever, ever happens to you. Let me help you. Don't say that, because you'll find yourself swearing next week. I found any time that I judge somebody else in that manner, I find myself kind of in the same position. I go, oh, but by the grace of God, you know. So see, it's talking about in that particular scripture, not the quality of the fruit, but the class of fruit. Because you're not gonna pick figs from a thorn bush. You're not gonna get crab apples from an orange tree. So we should have fruit in our life. Now the fruit is not what comes out of your mouth when you're super disciplined and hyped up for Jesus. The fruit is what comes out of your mouth consistently. When nobody's listening, when nobody's looking, when it's just you and your spouse. Come on. That's the kind of fruit we're talking about. Praise the Lord. Anybody can take it for an hour or so a week, can't we? And then maybe schedule a 20-minute discipleship class or accountability group. We could fake it during a 20-minute accountability group, can't we? But you can't fake it in your bathroom when it's just you and God. Now, that's not really a good litmus test. Because when it's just you and God, you're probably pretty good. Because you realize he's big and you're small. But now it's you and God and that person who's in your family that just really gets underneath your skin. And they don't go to your church anyway. Come on. That's when you really find out what's in there, because it's going to come out of your heart. Praise the Lord. I've been practicing blessing my mother-in-law all week long because I know I'm going to see her next week because she lives in Florida. Sometimes it takes some practice. That's okay. Come on. Am I just being too real for you? All right, let's get down to that. We talked about filling your heart. So let's go into, we're going to go into prepare. Everybody say prepare. One last thing I want to mention. Before I left, we talked about the content of your heart is not established like in stone. It's not like God wrote the Ten Commandments on the tablet now. It's not on a pen and parchment. The content of your heart is fluid. That's why one day you can be all happy, all full of joy, and praising God, and thank you, Jesus. And the next day you're down in the dumpers, and your language matches it. Come on. That's because you have to tend to your heart. You have to guard your heart. You have to fill your heart. You're the one who fills it and who plants it, who fills your barn, who plants the seeds in it. Satan can plant a seed in your mind. He can't plant a seed in your heart. Satan can't even touch your spirit. But now if you allow him to contaminate your mind long enough, it'll get down in your heart and it can pollute your spirit. His religion God considers pure and faultless is to take care of widows and orphans and to keep oneself to their spirit from being polluted by this world. And you do that by guarding your heart. Okay. Now, we're going to get into tonight. Are you ready? All right, this is going to hurt a little bit. First, there's two steps in preparing, and both of those have several subcategories. And the first step is to know or to have the wisdom of God. Wisdom is the principal thing, the Bible says. You've got to have wisdom. And so for a layman's, which is the only way I know how to do it, Pastor Kinney's definition of wisdom is to see things from God's perspective and from his understanding. One time I got lost when I was hunting, and it got dark, and you always stay past dark when you're bow hunting, and I was up in a tree, and it was a new stand I just put up that day, and the brush was really thick, and the fog came down, and it got dark, and I couldn't see anything, and I was lost. I mean, really lost. Bad lost. And then the coyotes started howling, and I swore they sounded like werewolves. And I swear the ground squirrels or whatever was running around me sounded like bears, you know. It just got worse and worse. And so what I finally did is I got up and I climbed up a tree so I could see the lights of the farmhouses nearby. So I could ascertain with my incredible knowledge and understanding of farm lights where I was. And what did I do? I got a better perspective. I climbed up in the tree. And you know what? After I did that, I knew the direction that I was to head. And I don't know if any of you remember me teaching on this, but I got lost again. And so I found a homing beacon, like the Word of God. And I had Mike and Kathy Kelly. They drove down to the edge of the timber, and they started honking their horn and flashing their lights. I could never see the lights, but I could hear the horn. And I found my way out. I mean, it was thick brush. So the wisdom of God is from a higher perspective. Not just dealing with a physical location, where you're at right now, but remember that God created time. He's not bound by it. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And what makes that possible for God is that He created time so He can come into time and He can step out of time. Come on. So when we're talking about God's perspective, we're not just talking about He's seated higher than anything else, and He is, and He's looking down, and He can see that train coming this way, and you're Google-eyeing something you shouldn't be. He could prompt you by the Holy Ghost to stop. He could put a ministering angel to slow down that train. He has a better perspective of things. That's why we pray in tongues, to give Him permission to handle the things that we cannot see. Come on. That's why we pray in tongues, so we can process not just things we can't see around us. I don't know what I have need of tomorrow, but He does. So when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I prepare my tomorrow for me to get there. And I can always tell when I'm behind in prayer, not just in English, but in the Holy Ghost, because I get into my tomorrow, I wake up, and I just, the day runs me. Come on, in Jesus Christ, I should have dominion over today. In Jesus Christ, I should have dominion over my yesterday and my tomorrow. In Jesus Christ, I should have dominion over, I should take charge. I shouldn't be a pinball being bounced around, boing, 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 boing. If I pray, and then I pray for an understanding so that my mind can be enlightened, so that I can get edification for my mind, not just in my spirit. Come on. Then I can recognize things as they happen. As I come into the time that I have processed with God, then I will recognize and I'll see my harvest. Come on. I'll see my provision. I'll see the temptation and I'll steer away from it because I've already prayed that thing through. Come on. So having the wisdom of God is a now thing, but it can be pre-processed. Isn't that good? I'll tell you what, when I'm really prayed up and I'm walking through the day, I know what's coming. Well, you do this for a while, you do know what's coming. Not exactly, but you kind of know what flavor the thing is. Cut, bud. It's like, I can smell a Christmas tree and cranberry sauce and turkey. Well, I know it's either Christmas or Thanksgiving, right? There's certain smells, certain sounds that you just recognize. And it's true in the Spirit. When you process things in the Holy Spirit, you know. The Holy Spirit, He was given so He would tell you things to come. Praise the Lord. About May of this year, I told the staff, we started clamping down on every single thing that was spent. Everything that was spent had to go through my desk. Everything that went out of here. Well, now looking back, I know why. And we came through just fine. Come on. When did you know that? About January. Was I praying that it would be different? Yes, and I thank God that I did, because it might have been real dry. But we had the wisdom in it. I got the wisdom of what was coming, that it was going to be, things were going to be tight. And so we tightened up in advance. And when we tightened up, guess what? We didn't go belly up. Nobody got worried. Nobody was anxious. I didn't get any more gray hair that you know of. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't He? All right. So we want to prepare, and the first thing is get the wisdom of God. We're talking about faith and how to receive from God. Once you know what He wants you to have, and some of us aren't even very good at that. God, do you want me to pray for that? Because God could give you some things that aren't going to bless you in the long run. There's a good,
and there's an acceptable, and there's a perfect will in God. And all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. See, I kind of rely on His wisdom more than I rely on mine. And when you do that, then you ask in His perfect will. And I don't want just to grease into heaven. I want to go into heaven blazing. Come on. I want to take souls with me into the kingdom of God. I don't want to miscarry anything. And even though there may be shortcuts that we can go right now through, I'm not going to, if God shows me something, I'm not going to do it. I'm not gonna take a shortcut. I'm not gonna take a good or acceptable. I trust Him. And that's part of getting the wisdom of God. Come on. Just because you want something doesn't mean you should have it. Because you may be wanting it naturally instead of spiritually. And, you know, just to open up your mind a little bit, open up your heart a little bit, it might not be that God doesn't want you to have it. Maybe He wants you to have something better. I think so many times we miss God's perfect will because we act in urgency and we act out of desire, natural human desire, instead of God's best. And until we learn to control that a bit, we don't have to buy everything just because it's on sale. Especially, we've been believing God for it. See, there's a still small voice on the inside that says, well, that's not it, but you could go for it. That's not it, but you could have that, but I've got something better.
Praise the Lord.
All right. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to be speaking about wisdom tonight, and this is part of how to receive. And wisdom is seeing something from God's point of view. You know what? I'm just going to... There we go. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 4. See, it's a good thing I pulled that thing out. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it costs all you have. Get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Here's the basis of wisdom. Get it, go after it before you go after something in prayer. Get it and go after it before you go after the ministry that God's called you to. Because the wisdom of God will show you the appropriate times. He'll lead you into seasons. He'll show you the things that you need to do in advance. Wisdom is the principal thing in receiving anything from God. We have taken, praise God for the message of faith, but we have taken the message of faith and we've made it a method. We have made it a way of receiving whatever we want from God, as if He were an Amazon or a Walmart or a checkbook. Now, God wants you to have good things, but He wants, when He adds things to you, the Word of God says when He adds wealth, He does it without headache. He does it without stress. He does it without anxiety. In other words, not only will you get it, but you'll be able to maintain it, or He'll send somebody alongside you to take care of the things. Amen. All right, let's go to James chapter 1. Still speaking about wisdom. Oh, it's good to see. Praise the Lord. James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, think of it as being seeing something from God's point of view. If any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from God. That person should not expect to receive anything from God. That person should not expect to receive anything from God. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So when you ask for wisdom, understand that you have received it. And if you can't receive it, you don't expect to receive anything from God. And you may pray in a very natural way, and you may receive something, but you want to receive it from God, so you've got to get the wisdom. And let's go back to know, how do you know if you have the wisdom? Well, first off, if it's going to come from God, it's either going to come from His Word or from His Spirit. His Spirit is going to speak to your spirit. Now, very seldomly will you hear the audible voice of God. Sometimes you'll hear a strong word inside of here. Come on. But most often you just know. His Spirit testifies with your spirit. It's in agreeing. And you know what happens when God does speak a still small voice in here, or maybe a loud kind of commanding word. If it's a word, you're going to make it a sentence. If He gives you a sentence, you'll probably make it a paragraph. And you'll fill in all the blanks of why. That's why God doesn't speak to you in words very often. It's a knowing. It has to do with peace. It has to do with joy. It has to do with confidence in His presence. Come on. Those are the gauges on the dashboard of your spirit to identify whether or not you're walking in God or not. Do you have peace? Do you have joy? Is there confidence in His presence? If there's not, then come on, back up. No matter how big the thing is you've gotten yourself into, back up to the last place that you had confidence with Him, the last place you had joy, the last place that you knew you had peace, and then start over. Strip all that stuff away. It's going to take a lot of stripping of you. It's going to take humility. You have to die to yourself. Especially if you've been standing in the pulpit and say, the word of the Lord came to me. Come on, sometimes you just got to say, I flat missed it. So the wisdom of God is not going to come like somebody's going to come up. And they're going to give you A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Here's the plan, brother. God gave this to me while you were praying. That may happen, but if you've never seen that plan before, where would you have seen it? In here. And you may not have seen it in that, but you're, yep, that's it. Now that's probably from God. Are you getting it? But it's not going to be something new coming from the outside in, because don't you know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit and that God's Spirit lives in you? That's the hope of the gospel. That's a mystery of the gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. No mind, no human mind has conceived. No eye has seen, no ear has heard the things that God has prepared for Him. But He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Come on. We have the mind of Christ. Right down here, it's in the innermost part of who you are. It's in, the Bible calls it in some places the bowels of your soul. It's the deepest part of who you are. In the middle part of your identity as a son of God is your heart. And in the higher part of your identity of who you are as a son of God is your mind. And then all this soul, spirit of a man, it communicates through the physical instrument that God has given you to tend to and take care of, so that you can change this world. Praise the Lord. Out of your belly, out of your innermost being, one translation says, will flow rivers of living water. He ain't going to come out your belly button. It's going to come out your mouth. But it's got to go through your heart. I mean, wouldn't that be weird? Hold on. What does this look like to you? I've got the Holy Ghost flowing. Praise. That don't look right, does it? I could have been writing my name in the snow. It's got to come out of your mouth. This He spoke of the Holy Spirit, which was to come. None of them had been baptized in it yet. And as soon as they did, they stood up, 11 of them, and they began to speak in 11 different tongues, but 15 different nations understood them. It was a spiritual sound. Spiritual words taught by the Spirit, and the man without the Spirit can't understand them. That's why we have the, if you don't have the mind of Christ, forget it. But if you're not listening to the mind of Christ, if you're not gauging your footsteps by the mind of Christ, then as one scripture says, you have disconnected yourself from the head.
Praise the Lord.
I don't want to be disconnected from the head.
Praise the Lord.
I want to live out of my spirit. I want to pray out of my spirit. I want to sing out of my spirit. I want to think out of my spirit. I want to act out of my spirit. I want my mind to agree with it. I don't want to dismiss my mind and be a blooming idiot for Jesus. I want to be a very intelligent man that is governed by the Holy Spirit. Because if I get all fruity, nutty, and flaky, I'm not going to be able to relate to the world. And that's not the way the men of God in the old covenant did it. That's not the way the men of God in the new covenant did it. They stood before kings and princes, and they did business with them very intelligently, but they had the mind of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go to Proverbs chapter 25, please. Spiritual things are spiritually taught. I've got to see God do it again and again and again and again in a mind, in the life of a man before I would follow him, is what the world is saying. Verse 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. As high as the heavens are high and the earth is deep, so the hearts of kings are unsearchable. Jesus said he has made you both kings and priests. Where do you search? Guys, don't go to a commentary first. Do you know where you go to first is where your faith is? Don't call your pastor. I'm glad nobody does that in here. Pastor, I was just talking to somebody. I want to know, what do you think about? Well, hold on. Did you look at your work? Did you ask God? Because I can't be your Holy Spirit. Come on. Don't go to a commentary first. Just like if you get a headache, man, I wouldn't recommend going to the Tylenol first. You go to God first. When you lack wisdom, you ask Him. And you know what? If you'll train yourself to listen to the Holy Ghost, He'll give you scripture and verse to back it up. I've had God tell me things. And I'll go, okay, I'm saying this to God. Now you got to show me scripture. And it used to be really strange to me. Now it's just the way I live. But He would take me and I would go, you go over here. Look there, go over here, look over there, go over here, look over there. And he'd tie it all in together. Come on. When you ask for wisdom, he's going to give it to you. Now, where's it going to come from? Where's it going to come? Down in here, in your knower. Your human spirit. That doesn't mean the answer's coming from your human spirit. Your answer's coming from the mind of Christ within. He took your old wineskin and he made it new. So he could put the new wine, the Holy Ghost, in there. Now that's what gives life to your flesh. And your flesh will take you if you're not getting drawn out of the wells of salvation with joy and filling your life with the Spirit. So you got something on the inside trying to work its way out, not just to change you and transform you, but transform everything around you. The Muslims believe something like that, can't you? Come on. They're not here to put up with other religions. They want to take over. Now, come on. I don't know if you know this, but Jesus is a jealous God. He didn't put us here just to tolerate. He put us here to straighten the mess out and take over. Now, I can't take over any more than I can tend to. With some angelic help and some flesh that's submitted to their spirit, who's submitted to the Spirit of God. All right. So, we're in Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 24. Let's go back a chapter. Verse 3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established, and through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. If you have time this week, do some word studies on wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. You have to see what God wants. Unless God builds a house, we what? We labor in vain. And you know, God's going to co-labor with you. He's going to take what your... Now you see, I was thinking about you. You know, you like popping backs and stuff like that, you know. And you know, if you'll manipulate something, then you're expecting God to do something with that, right? If I get the body in the right manner, and the spine in the right manner, if I get the nerves to start talking to each other right, then the healing process is going to take place. And guys, absolutely, because I have more faith in that than anything. That God's going to bless the work of my hands. He's going to take what I do in the natural and he's going to turn it into something supernatural. That God's creative, wonder-working miracle power is going to work through a point of contact, a point of manipulation. Guys, that's what communion is. That's what baptism is. That's what laying on of hands is. It's a natural thing that God anoints. But I'm growing in my faith that I don't even have to do anything. Because He's going before me announcing victory before I even get to the place. Come on, He went before the foundation of the world and He prepared good works for me to walk in. It's already done. I mean, I'm getting it. I'm still, if I don't see God doing something, then I'm going to say, God, I'm going to tweak this, I'm going to tweak that, I'm going to push this, I'm going to, come on. I'm going to put a seed in the ground, God. I'm going to sow an offering, God. I'm going to sow the word. I'm going to speak this out of my mouth on things that I've established with Him as not only, see, the wisdom of God not only tells you it's His will, it tells you it's His season. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Mary wasn't yet. She obeyed the Holy Spirit. So Jesus comes to the wedding and they run out of wine. And Jesus' mama knows that this boy is full of miracles. And she says to the attendants, you do whatever he tells you to do. And he says, Mom, it's not my time yet. But she said it, so he did it. And that was the first miracle in which his divinity, his Godhead was revealed. Now that probably cost Jesus a little bit of extra faith in the long run. He was waiting for the Father to say, not his mother, he's waiting for his Father to say, now. Do you get it? Everywhere that Jesus went after that, crowds followed him looking for miracles. I mean, it's not just the ones that were being called out of Israel, but people who just wanted stuff in their stomach, who wanted to be wowed and dazzled, they followed him. And it got to the place that he couldn't sleep anywhere. He had to go out to the mountains to pray. It wasn't his time. I mean, it could have been a day, it could have been a week, it could have been a month, I don't know. But Jesus said, it's not my time. I don't want to walk in the acceptable will of God. I want to walk in the perfect will of God. And knowing, having the wisdom of God, not only says it's His will, it's what He wants, but it agrees with His timing. That's why right before the passage that we quoted in the book of James about having wisdom, it talks about having patience, perseverance. Wisdom will give you the agreement to have patience and perseverance. Amen. I can't tell you, well, not yet. There are so many opportunities to grow a church by flesh. Listen, you can empty out another church. We've had so many opportunities, we won't do it. We've turned people away because it wasn't the right time. Come on. You wait for His timing in things. It doesn't change what He wants for you. But I don't have, when He's not saying, do it, I don't have to make anything happen. But now when He says work, I work. When He says pray, I pray. When He says speak, I speak. The best I can. Wisdom is not just seeing something from God's perspective. But if you do the word study, you'll find out you'll develop the soul, the mind of the man to agree with what you're seeing inside of your spirit. You have to have that to be able to fill the house. You have to have that to be able to build the house, to be able to see it before it is and to plan it out. And then you have to be able to fill it with good things, not Walmart specials. Fill it with good things. Come on. How many of you know you can go buy a lawnmower on sale for $99 and you might have it for 2 years? But you wait for God to bring you a... used to be a Craftsman, it's not anymore, but... to bring you a quality cast, something that thing will last you a lifetime. You know? You see it in your spirit, and then you've got to cultivate it in your mind so that you can with intelligence and foresight begin to work something out in a plan that God set in order. Praise the Lord. If you saw the plan that we are working on this campus, it would run every single one of you off, most likely. Because we're just skimming, I mean, we're just barely skimming the top of this thing. And there are times when, seasons when he'll say, go, do this. And he'll say, wait. Go, do this. Wait. Wisdom is not just seeing it from his perspective, but it's trusting him in the timing. Amen? All right. All right, naturally. Let's talk about first was wisdom and then second is naturally. I'm going to give you the scriptures. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. And I'm going to turn there while you guys are writing these down. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. How can you receive anything from God? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Proverbs chapter 2, 1 through 8. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. Haggai 1, 5 through 7. Haggai 1, verse 5 through 7. Proverbs 13, verse 4. Luke chapter 16, 10 through 12. 1 Timothy 3, verse 5. Luke chapter 20, verse 21 through 26. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Now, we're obviously not going to get through all these tonight, but I'm going to give you the highlights of these scriptures, and please take some time and go through them so next time we get together, we can discuss them in detail. First, you have to prepare by getting the wisdom of God. And second part is the natural things that you have to do. Now, yes, God is going to do some supernatural things, but he's going to take what you do and he's going to anoint it, he's going to bless it, he's going to prosper it, he's going to make it as if 10 men were doing what you're doing, he's going to have angelic activity around you to cause the thing that you're doing to succeed if you have the wisdom of God. But there are some things that you have to do naturally. God's always dealt with me in this manner. If you're going to go to the apple orchard, Kenny, you better build your basket first. Because I have realized in God that nobody gives you the basket. Now, when there was 5 loaves and 2 fishes, how many did it feed? 5,000. Right? How many baskets did they take up? 12. How many disciples were there? Do you think the baskets just came out of nowhere? Those boys were carrying those baskets everywhere they went. You've got to have the container for God to fill. There are people who are believing God to go overseas on a mission trip, but they haven't even opened up a savings account or put a jelly jar, or it tells you where the faith is, or a milk jar, or a big milk, you know, big thing, or a 55-gallon drum where they're throwing their change. Come on, you've got to have something for God to fill. How can he bless your storehouse if you don't have one? Because now, I'm not picking on anybody, but if you're still paying everything by cash, it's going to be awful hard for God to bless your storehouse. Because you're sitting on it all the time if you're a guy, or sitting beside you if you're a girl. It's sitting beside you if you're a girl. It's a billfold if you're a guy. If you want to be able to give $100,000 to a ministry one day or to bless a missionary, you know, you might want to have a savings account called giving. Praise the Lord. In 1996, I began to research what it was going to take to cover the gifts in the way the IRS wants them to be covered in a 501c3 or to be a church. And I researched all those things. And in 1998, we graduated Bible school, got one. When? The week after we graduated Bible school. Put our first, believe God, for we opened the account with a dollar. And we put our first donation, which was $1,000, into that account. Listen, that's the way God has dealt with. He did the same way thing with the widow. Hey woman, what do you got? Oh, we got a little bit of oil. Well, then go get a whole lot of vessels. And don't get a few of them. and you close the door and you begin to pour. He told her what was going to happen. And so her faith, as she went, when the boys brought 20 vessels, that's not enough. She had bigger faith than that. Go get some more. Okay, we got 30 vessels now. That's not enough. And she said, go get some more. And they got 40 vessels. I'm just making those numbers up. Okay, and then they came back, 40 vessels. Okay, that's enough. That's where her faith was at. And then she closed the door, and they began to pour. And when every single one of those vessels were full, the oil stopped pouring. She went back to the prophet. He said, now you sell that, and you'll have enough to pay all your debtors and for you and your boys to live on. Scholarships and everything. So, guys, naturally, what are you building? What have you set aside for the Lord? What have you set aside for your ministry? I'm not talking about just a savings account. Go on. Do you even have an office? Do you have a prayer closet? God's told me I'm going to have a mighty prayer ministry. Well, do you have a closet cleaned out so you can pray? Are you setting aside, are you carving out a bit of your day so you can pray every day? Are you just praying when the Holy Ghost leads? Come on. There's a natural to this thing. You've got to. You know what? I went to an auction and we really shouldn't have been in that position to do these things. And we bought 500 chairs. You remember we got them? 500 chairs. Have we filled them yet? No, but we got them. Come on. I'd like to get 3 buses parked out there right now. We get 3 buses, man. We'll compel them to come in. Amen. There's some natural things you got to do to prepare. Now that's in the season as God shows you. You know, if He shows you this is going to happen, well, what does it take to make that happen, Lord? And as He shows you, then you have to be diligent with what you've got, which brings you to praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 6 through 8 talks about laying up for the project. Luke chapter 14 28 talks about considering the cost. Some guys are called into ministry. Some guys are called to change a nation. Some guys are called to change a state. Some guys are just called to change their family. But they don't consider the cost. Well, what does that mean? Well, for some of us, that means you have to separate from everything naturally regarding provision and let God be your provider. So nobody can dictate your ways. Come on. Some of us have to consider the cost. Say, well, I guess that means I'm not going to be working 40 hours a week anymore for a job or for a living. Praise the Lord. All right. Clear down to Luke chapter 16, verse 10. And I want to turn there, and we'll end on this one, okay? You guys all right? Luke chapter 16. So much here I want to minister. You know how nice it was to be able to... I had 5 one-hour sessions to teach before I ever got a minister. You know how rich that was? Praise the Lord. You realize it would take us 6 weeks to get the amount of teaching out that I got out in one weekend. Maybe we should do that here. Just to have a teaching weekend. I mean, it was tremendous what was coming out of the Holy Ghost and what was coming out of the Word. At Luke chapter 16, and what verse did I tell you to go to? Verse 10. Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling, a little worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So there's 2 fundamental principles here in receiving from God that we need to check on. One, I call it the law of due diligence. Have I been diligent with what God gave me? Come on, I can't with my faith have a heart full that God is going to get me a new vehicle. if I'm not changing the oil in the one I got? Come on. That's just me. You know, I can't throw trash in the back seat of my car and not have it cleaned out and then expect God to get me a different vehicle. That's just not, I couldn't live inside of some house that I'm renting and the screen door gets loose on it. And I can't be that guy who lets that screen door slam in the wind, doesn't take care of it, but I'm believing God for a house myself. You know, I can't be the guy that rents a car from Hertz and drives the bazeekers out of it and treat it like it's, you know, it doesn't matter and expect God to bless me in my vehicles in the future. What am I talking about? Being diligent with the little. I mean, I was using Doug's, what's that thing called? It's a thing. It reminds me of thing one and thing two, the way it drives, but I finally got it. But I mean, I didn't want to ding it. I didn't want to bend it up. I went in a low spot with the trailer today and I thought, oh, because it doesn't belong to me. I want to treat it nice. I want to treat it with honor. I want to treat it with respect because it belongs to somebody else. If I ever expect God to get us a trailer that we'll need for the plans that God has around here, then I got to take care of His trailer that I borrowed. And just because I'm paying for the use of somebody's vehicle or I'm paying for the use of somebody's house called rent doesn't mean I can disrespect it and expect God to honor me. These are natural things. Come on. You can't get out of poverty mentality if you leave the church and you throw your Kleenex on the floor and don't pick it up.
Praise the Lord.
Come on. And you know when you really find out if God's really working in this area, when you walk into, guys, I've walked into a bathroom and it was so bad, I didn't leave, I cleaned the sink. Not because I'm compulsive, because I knew somebody else was going to come in there. And it wasn't even my sink. It was a gas station. How can I expect God to transform Iowa if I won't even allow Him to work through me to transform Phillips 66's bathroom? Come on. And the same is true with the things that you have. If you expect God's power to be released in your life, or if you're believing for good things, then you have to take care of the things that you have. And if you can't categorize, or if you don't even know what you have, you may have an issue there. We've been working since January on getting the junk out of the cathedral and off the campus and categorizing everything that we have. Why? Because we were holding back God's blessing. Come on. You have to be diligent with what you have if you're going to expect God, through your faith, to pour out any kind of blessing of materiality on you. Listen, you can't cheat on your taxes and expect God to bless your business. Jesus very specifically said to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. You can't skimp on the tithe. Come on. And expect God to bless you. If you can, then you have a dual personality. and I don't. You know, I gotta be all whole here. I can't be Mr. Well, that's the government. I'm going to squeeze him for everything I got. You know, I'm going to hide this from him. Listen, man, there's some legitimate things that you can do in taxes that will be hearing me. These are the natural things. If you want to receive from God and you begin to pray in faith, if you're not taking care of the kids that you had with your first wife, don't expect God to release any power to get you a second wife to have other kids with. Come on. Praise the Lord. If you're not taking care of the car He got you, don't expect God to release, because you can't approach Him with confidence, because your spirit's going to be testifying with God's spirit. Oops, you got that open issue. Dead here he is, not right. Every time you pray about something that's connected to... All right, I'm going to close with this because God gave this to me before I came in. Everybody say prayer. Petition. When you petition God for something, whether it's ministry or it's a material thing, or it has to do with people, okay? Say petition.
Petition.
You are asking God to judge you. And that's okay. Because you're asking God to look at you as He does, as you are the righteousness of God in Christ. But you know He pays attention to what you do. Now you get everything clean in your heart and you petition, it's gonna go through like grease lightning. But you can't petition God relying on grace and your position of righteousness when your own heart condemns you. Come on. Because God will never give you something that's going to make you go backwards. If He knows you can handle it, man, He'll get it to you fast as grease lightning. See, most people don't struggle with God when everything's going haywire, when all hell breaks loose. That's when we tend to rely on God and we need God. But when everything's going, when it goes good, that's when we find out what's really in our heart. So if we could go to God with a heart that doesn't condemn us in these areas, now see, when you see it in your spirit, and your mind will agree with it, when it comes out of your mouth, creative miracles will manifest. Amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.